Hi, I'm Scott from the Summerland.
I'm Mark from Zoo Lion.
This is Secret Broadcast.
I'm Jeffrey Lewis.
I'm Matthew Angus.
We are from Fast Romantics.
Hi, this is Oliver from the Stills.
And you're listening to
Ace of Steel
on Punk Radio Cast.
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to Volume 23 of The Grind on punkradiocast.com. This is your Calgary correspondent, Stacey Steele, and today we're going to be bringing you a bunch of interviews from Zoo Lion, Secret Broadcast, The Summer Lad, Fast Romantics, and last but certainly not least, The Stills. First off, we have Zoo Lion, round four winners of the Fuel Big Rockstar contest. They actually opened up the show and won. They were up against Seventh Rain, Static in the Stars, Stonehawker, as well as a few other local bands. I must say they're a really cool rock band and great to catch live if you can. We also have for you interviews with the winners of another radio contest. I covered some of the second annual Exposure CD release party that was held here in Calgary. The headliners were The Stills and Attack in Black. I also got a chance to talk with several bands, The Summer Lad. Currently, they are putting the polish on their fourth album. Unfortunately, Liz, one of the members of the band, is going up to Edmonton to follow another venture in her life. But for the rest of the guys, they have a lot on the go for their future and are still out there playing some shows. That evening, I grabbed a hold of the Fast Romantics and we chatted about pie and a lot of other juicy things. There was also a band called Secret Broadcast. They've been nothing short of stellar to me since I ran into them at the show. They have also been selected by a number of judges, including Sir Richard Branson, as one of the top five finalists in the O. Henry What Feeds Your Hunger contest. The winner will play Virgin Fest Toronto alongside Oasis on day two, so best of luck to Secret Broadcast. I have to thank Chris for getting me in touch with the Montreal band The Stills. I was very honored at the chance to talk to Oliver Corbeil, the bass player. He had just come off, I believe it was the day before, from performing in Quebec City with Sir Paul McCartney to honor Quebec City's 400th anniversary. He opened up about what it's like to have a Brit on stage and share it with some French Canadians on the Plains of Abraham. He chatted about what it's like to be signed onto the Arts and Crafts label. It was a personal treat for me, actually, to sit and talk to him and share some great things about their upcoming album called Oceans Will Rise, which is coming out later this month.
And we're going to lead you into the Zoo Lion interview with a track entitled Telling Your People.
You will find
time.
Stacey Steele here on punkradiocast.com, and I'm sitting here with Zoo Lion, and I am speaking with this evening.
This is Craig.
I'm Mark.
Matt.
Tyler.
And we're sitting here in Calgary on a non-rainy night for once, so anyway, tell us about everything that's gone on with you guys so far. What's happening?
Well, lots is happening. It's been a pretty wild month here for us. We're just in the Fuel Contest, which is Fuel 90.3, which is a Calgary radio station, alternative radio station, and ended up coming out of their Battle of the Bands with $25,000, which was quite nice.
Spent on hookers and blow.
Yes, it's gone. But I tell you, that was a great night. That's why, yeah, we're going to the finals.
What are the finals? Yes.
The finals are September 24th.
Okay. And it's Snatch. Between you and...
Us, right now, they've got another local band. Well, they're all local bands, I guess. But Static and the Stars, which is a buddy.
Awkward.
Yeah, you know, it's
all about fun, right?
Exactly.
The Dudes.
The Dudes, which is a fairly well-established band already. And Matt Blaze.
Yeah.
I've never seen before, but...
I guess the fourth one will be picked next month.
You guys did lay down some tracks back in March at Factory Studios in Vancouver, and you worked with a couple of producers, is that right?
That's right.
How did that go for you guys?
It's awesome.
It's good?
Yeah, we just got our disc finished. It's called Telling the People. It's now available on our website, www.zoolinemusic.com.
And your MySpace?
Yes, MySpace. You know, the MySpace / Zoo Lion.
Mm-hmm. How did your release party go?
It was great. We did it at basically a hall, and had about 115-120 people show up. It was great. It was good times.
Right.
Sold a bunch of CDs and a bunch of T-shirts.
It was great.
How did you come out with the name of Zoo Lion?
Yes.
We're gonna
hold off on telling.
Well, what is it today?
We can't give a secret away just yet.
What is it? Yeah.
We're in the igloo in the Yukon, practicing, writing songs. And
I thought it had something to do with your hair, perhaps.
Oh yeah.
It's a lion's mane.
It's definitely up for your interpretation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For those of you that don't know, Craig has a very long lion's mane of hair. Going
on. Yeah, it's out of control. I can't stop it from growing.
With the success that you've had so far, how do you define your fans?
Our fans are awesome, loyal.
Here's your tea, Craig.
Oh, thank you. That's great.
That's pretty wholesome.
Yes. Our fans are wholesome.
Organic.
No, our fans are great. They come out to so many shows. We play in Calgary. We do a cover thing and then an original thing, of course. And we gig almost every weekend in the city. So a lot of them come out every week.
And I don't know if it wasn't for our friends at Snatch.
Oh, yeah.
We would have done there because we had a fantastic following that came out and supported us that night, and they were so loud.
Great support.
It's been more fun to see those faces. Especially when it's like, you know, 75% women. That helps.
Keeps the mojo going.
Keeps the mojo going.
The mojo.
Is that part of what influences you passionately in your music?
Girls?
Women? Yeah. I don't think I...
Yeah. You know, God bless those
you
women.
Know,
you know?
That and probably marijuana.
Definitely loves.
Definitely women.
I think there's probably quite a bit about women to do on your album, though. I would say, like, if you want to peel the layers back a bit, Is that what you got from it?
You guys were a three-piece back in about 2006, and you added another member fairly recently, for about a year ago?
Yeah, well, it was about March. We started writing. Tyler is from Red Deer and has been commuting for the last 2 years. And so we started it up, and he was driving down every week. And Matt was an old buddy. So we started with that, just writing, and it was just kind of, let's just get it together and start writing some songs and see what happens. And then in about, it was March, we started getting a few more gigs and wanted to kind of expand.
What element did you bring to the band, Mark, when you joined?
Well, I don't know, I don't want to say it made it heavier, really. No, it was more like tight jeans and hair.
Yeah,
jumping off the stage, crawling around on the floor.
We definitely thickens the sound up, that's for sure.
There's
great solos, man.
I was really happy to join with these guys because I've been playing with a few other bands, and I was kind of at a low point where I wasn't playing with anybody, and I just, like, I had a broken hand for a little while, and that slowed me down a bit, and I was a little bummed out, so when these guys asked me to come and play a show with them, I jumped all over it.
Is it important for you guys to have a place to be at and jam? You have like a collective place that you all gather to and...
Yeah, our house. Matt and I are roommates. We had a jam space actually just not far from where we're playing right now. But for the amount of rent we were paying on it, you know, so basically, yeah, I mean, to answer your question, we jam at our house. We're right in the living room. Main living room.
Very comfortable.
Move all the couches out of the side. It's great.
Every
No Romance by Zoo Lion.
Do you find living in Calgary and the things around it influence your music? What you write about and the things that you grew up with, do they play a part in your music as well, in your writing and your style of music that you play?
Definitely, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. We live in Cowtown, you know. I we're not a country band at all. Just for the record, we're not a country band. However, there are elements of, one of our songs, When You Go, kind of has, a shuffle feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, definitely, I played in a country band for a little while. There, I said it. And just for the experience, it was great. So maybe that plays, it's definitely filtered down into my writing for sure. Yeah.
Do you all write together, or are you the main songwriter?
Well, I do come up with a lot of the ideas, but we jam them out together. Or someone will just bring an idea to the
film. It's a pretty collective process.
It's definitely, yes.
I think, Craig did have, he brings a lot to the floor, more so than we all bring to the floor. But, we've created songs together, and I find that,
hell yeah,
those are some really good songs, you know?
Yeah.
We wrote Telling Your People as in a jam session.
Yeah, that was...
That involved us, the four of us just working together on a tune. Most of the tunes on the first, on our album.
Our album.
But I joined after these guys kind of had, the basic idea of the song all together, the structure, and I just kind of add my parts on top. And kind of started as, it's a... Kind of like building a skeleton. Somebody shows up with the bones, somebody else has got the skin.
Yeah.
Matt's got the organs. organ dealer. I just came up with that.
Why do you love playing live so much? And your philosophy is staying true to oneself. That's a big thing for so many people. And how do you keep that together in a band? Being in the whole industry with it.
It's pretty easy. That's an easy question because we're buddies. We're all really close buddies. And I think that, we're definitely serious about being musicians and playing and getting this going and making it our career, but we're friends and.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be more true than that, boys.
That means we can tell each other to fuck off.
Yeah, exactly.
Not hold grudges. I wouldn't have as much fun as I do if I didn't trust the guys that I work with.
What influences you passionately?
It's really an indescribable thing. You go to a live show, and what a band can do to you, what a band can make you feel inspires me, right? So if I'm watching a band and I'm just blown away, it's just I want to do that. So, is that actually the question? I don't know.
What are your plans for the rest of the year once the fuel contest thing wraps up? Planning on touring?
Yeah, definitely. We definitely want to get out of the city a little bit more. So our plan for fall is to start hitting closer cities. College towns, so we can go and come back, and then we want to hit all of Canada next spring.
Have you learned things from other bands that you've sort of met or played with, some sort of tips that they've given you, or?
I think every time I watch a good guitar player live, I learn a little bit. Just watching somebody that's a master of the craft, mm-hmm. so to speak, work, it's pretty inspiring to watch. I mean, it's not like I'm stealing tricks from people.
Yeah, we've all played with in other bands and with players who are definitely on a musical level better than us. And so you do learn a lot from them as far as things you do in a performance, keep the ball rolling, keep people entertained.
The studio goes a long way, but you have to come to the table
he's
with quality.
He's deep.
It's about being deep, but realize that.
That's our buddy Scott, and he's right. We put everything. This is all.
You wrote some
of
great
us,
songs for
of our own.
Yeah.
Our own pockets to fund this album. We haven't got kind of help or anything like that. And it's
you're not signed to a label yet.
Hell no.
No.
I mean, it'd be good, but who knows? I don't know if it's good anymore, There's so many great bands that don't get signed.
It's that level right now where it's sort of in between everything.
Yeah, and I don't even know what it's like to be signed, so.
Good idea.
I got a shirt
here.
Sign
it. Yeah.
Well, time for some fun questions, enough of the heavy stuff.
All right, Matt, get in on this.
Have you ever been punched while being on stage?
Have I ever been punched?
Yeah.
I've got hit in the back of the head with drumsticks.
only by somebody else on the stage accidentally turning around.
Yeah. I walked into Craig's head by accident one time.
Did you?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I'm definitely falling down.
It was a hard hit, man. You were jumping, I was jumping. Boom.
Yeah, I move around a little bit.
A little bit.
What's your best hangover remedy?
McDonald's.
Beer.
Yeah, beer.
Taco time in the bong.
Filthy Phil's.
Yeah.
It's from the bong.
If you could have either a tuba or a trombone in your band, which instrument would you pick and why?
Oh, I know what I'm going to do.
The trombone's the one that go like this. Yeah, trombone just because they move like that and they can do the
more sexual.
Hell yeah.
I'm
have you ever heard a wicked trombone player?
I like the in and out motion.
The in and high notes.
The high notes.
Definitely.
Yeah. Trombone.
Trombone. Because that's my final answer.
Deciding action.
When you stage dive into a crowd at your show, who do you aim for and why? I don't know who I should direct this question to.
I usually aim for girls, dancing girls, voluptuous girls preferably.
Or something to land on.
Yeah. Girls. Short skirts, you know, in case I hit the ground and I'm looking up. That's about it.
What unreasonable request would you ever put in your rider, and why?
Oh,
we had some.
Yeah.
What are they? Matt's got them all. What? Rider requests.
Unreasonable requests.
Green Jello, blow-up doll, four bottles of Jägermeister, a buffalo, live or stuffed, preferably stuffed for safety reasons, and a sand wedge.
Yes.
If you could sing, okay, even though you're partially a cover band and doing your own music, if you were to sing one cover song to save your life, what would it be and where would you perform it?
Sweet Home Alabama in Brooks, Alberta.
And that might happen.
Can you let your listeners at Punk Radio Cast know what's up for you and Zoo Lion for the next little bit? Do you have lots of shows in August and September coming up?
Yes, we do. Yeah, tons. Yeah. We got local news, then we're going to Brooks, Alberta for a week. Playing the hotel there.
Richmond's.
The
end of August.
Yep.
And September, we're at Local Lose again.
Yep. We hit Local Lose quite a bit, which is a great place. Up on 16th Avenue. The website's going to be at www.zoolionmusic.com. And then the MySpace is myspace.com/zoolion.
Facebookers too.
Yeah, we're
Facebook.
Yeah, join the Zoo Lion group on Facebook and you'll know everything about us.
Yeah,
a lot of words, boys.
Matt.
Tyler.
Sodomy.
Rock and roll. Booze.
Cheyenne.
And that's Zoo Lion, everyone.
You are listening to City of Noise by The Summer Lad on The Grind, Volume 23.
Yeah.
Hello everyone, this is Stacey Steele, and I'm in Calgary at Snatch Rock and Roll Lounge this evening, and we're hanging out with a summer lad, and everyone's names are?
I'm Garrett.
Aaron.
Liz.
I'm Scott.
I'm Scott. How was your sound check today? Have you done your sound check yet?
It was good. It was quick, a bit confusing, but it was good.
Yeah, they're professionals.
Yeah. You guys did the High Performance Rodeo a little while ago. Was it a couple years ago now?
We've done it a couple years straight, actually. Or, yeah, kind of. We've done it in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
We did it in January.
We did it 2 years ago.
How was that for you? Did you enjoy it?
The High Performance Rodeo is amazing. It's like, you can't really express how cool it is, because it's basically one of a kind in the world, really. Like, it's something that we're just really lucky to have in Calgary. So we like to be a part of it every time we can. We've done something for it in either a minor or like a major capacity for probably the past 6 years going. So it's something that we really try to do and be involved in.
The organizers usually are just like carte blanche with us. They're like, do whatever you want. Do it again.
Now they are.
What is it like when you're living in Calgary, and how has that inspired or affected your music that you're putting out today, especially since the big win with the radio contest?
Calgary's had a rough music scene for a while, but I think it's really developing. I think some of the talent that's around is starting to be noticed as well, especially on a national scale too. So I think that people are going to be talking about Calgary more in the next few years especially.
It's quite a nice place for music. It's going to be booming pretty soon.
Yeah.
What passions influence you guys musically as a band and as individuals?
Very broad influences, I think. All of us listen to
the passions.
Very different stuff. You could say everything from punk rock to classical music, or avant-garde composition, sad bastard music, math rock, can I say bastard?
Oh, you can say anything you want on this radio program.
And in terms of like how I appreciate music, or what motivates me to write music, is really it's kind of like a way to connect with people and do a service to humankind. You know?
In a universal kind of way, too.
Yeah, exactly.
The Summer Lad with Bright Knives.
all from Calgary, Canada?
Yeah.
Yep, basically.
without going into really long details.
You've toured a lot here in America, is that correct? And performed over 200 shows with the Constantines, Hot Hot Heat, Bentless Chops. How was that? What is it like touring? What is it like getting back in the spotlight again?
I don't know.
Our last tour was pretty great, actually.
Yeah.
It was really fun. And we had really great, great shows right across Canada.
And then we got to come back and play Virgin Fest with, Constantines and Tack Black and Lady Hawk and Treasure
Pit. Yeah, so it's kind of pretty fun to us.
It's kind of nice.
Split Island was amazing.
I think things are going to... Things might pick up on a national level, like... once our video comes out, we see this video that should be jaw dropping. So
I've heard it's going to be a good one. Such a friend of mine will produce it for you.
Oh, okay.
Mark Vandegrift.
Ooh, that's
Mark.
Yeah.
He's going to be here tonight. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. How was making the video? I heard it was. He didn't tell me much about it. He couldn't tell me much about it, but
we had so little to do with it.
Yeah, it was kind of we provided the music and some ideas, we're basically. Things we didn't want to see in the video. And Mitch, director, was really like, okay. And he just took it from there.
Scott's a bit of a hard nose with the video stuff, so we were like, shit.
Yeah. Scott, he's
doing kind of within these confines.
He talked up parameters,
Absolutely.
He talked to Mitch a lot about the creative process.
Yeah. But really, I think we're only going to be in the final cut for like little snippets. It's not really about us.
Yeah.
So,
Mitch was.
But actually, we helped out with the actual production part of it. Building the sets and painting stuff and
wallpaper. You had to do that yourself?
Helping with the catering.
We just came down.
There was a lot of volunteer staff, so we just kind of pitched in.
In the end, it's ridiculous because so many people are involved with it, and yet we're the ones who are going to get like any acclaim for it or any noticing. So. It's just funny that we had nothing to do with it almost, and yet we're gonna get everyone's like, "Yeah, that video's so great. The server lab's awesome."
Yeah,
it's like, thanks. Yes, we are.
Yeah. Well, we did have a big party for the crew afterwards.
Party's always a good thing.
Yeah.
Where else do you want to tour that you haven't toured yet? Which bands have you would like to
work with? Coincidentally,
we actually we're going to London and Glasgow. In the UK this September.
First time?
Yeah.
First time.
Yeah, we're just sort of testing the waters, sort of getting our feet wet over there and just seeing what it's like pretty soon. So that's really cool. I'd love to see what it's like in northern continental Europe, Netherlands and Germany.
Do you have a pretty big fan base out in Europe yet? Have you had a lot of people?
We don't have a record out there yet. We don't have a label out there, so.
Just the MySpace.
Yeah, there's been a few people on MySpace that are like, "Come out to London."
There's the odd person who.
Barcelona.
They're really excited.
Or like
by
China.
Our sound.
Yeah.
They're
like, okay.
That's crazy. People that hear us from everywhere. It's amazing. MySpace is a good thing.
And you get the sense from people who've been out there, who know the music culture in Europe. They seem to think that our sound and the thing we do.
Is
something that would do well over there, so we're excited to test that out for sure.
What element do you bring to the band, and how is it involved with that? For each individual person, or one of you?
Well, I'm the rhythm, so I just gotta lay it down, put a nice box around everything these guys do. Mostly just remember what I'm doing, that's the most important part.
Is that your final call?
We got three minutes.
Leading us into their interview, The Fast Romantics with Gravity Pope. We'll be right back.
evening, everyone. This is Stacey Steele again on punkradiocast.com. I'm still at Snatch Rock Lounge, and I'm hanging out with the Fast Romantics, and today I'm hanging out with...
I'm Jeffy Lewis.
I'm Matthew Angus.
And the other two are MIA, so... Congratulations on your win. First of all, how did you start with the name? Where did you come up with the name Fast Romantics? Like to tell our fans
I didn't even know how many years ago that this has been around now. Probably two or three years under the Fast Romantics.
We were having a hard time. We had a lot of names, and none of them were good. And
there are a lot of ridiculous names?
Oh, yeah, yeah. What were we going to be? The Sleep Eaters?
The Sleep Eaters. The funniest one by far was the Mood. That was a real fun one. And so we had a few kicking around in the can for months and months and months, and it finally took one night of
debauchery.
Yeah.
We decided to get really messed up, which is very cliche, but it worked. And then we came up with that. We don't have a reason.
I think the reason why it actually worked, it's not so much that the Fast Romantics rolls off the tongue, but it looked really good on the font that we're using for the record cover. So I think that's a bigger seller.
I think
right
we probably just designed the game. Yeah. We liked it, so we went.
Is that the one with the guy on the front that's yellow on the cover?
The big chubby guy.
Yeah.
Created by Mr. Angus here.
You do that? You did that?
I participated in the doing of it.
Well done.
Thank you.
I understand you guys are being filmed for sort of a documentary with your band by filmmaker Tim Todd. And he's captured you guys in the studio and interviewing staff with Fire Music, Marquee Room, and various close friends. Do you
want to
tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, it's very exciting. We're pretty excited to see it, and you know, it's we're in a weird time right now where we don't really know how to promote ourselves. And Tim came and approached us and said, "Would you be interested in letting us do this?" And yeah, it's been very interesting. It's actually shed some interesting light on our process for ourselves as well. Like, I think having a camera crew there makes you a little self-conscious at first, and you sort of rediscover, like, oh, wait a second, what am I doing? And it's helped us in the process.
You can actually see yourself grow somewhat on camera. I remember 2 to 3 months ago when the project started, looking back on some of the footage, we looked like a bunch of timid little kids that didn't really know how to act so much in front of a camera. And then you get to a point where you just say, forget about it, we're here to do our thing, and they're here to do what they have to do and film a documentary without really being in the screenshot as well. It's just about us in the studio making music, which is what we do.
It's going to be a really good tool too, like I was saying, like, to promote yourself now, you have to be on YouTube, you have to be all over the place.
Are you still self-managed?
At the moment? Yes.
For the moment,
but we're looking for management.
Looking.
It's one of those deals where, I don't know if you watch much music or MTV, but the videos, they don't really exist much on these stations anymore.
Yeah, it just dies.
You must, you know, flip around, you watch the OC or reruns of the OC and all the reality games.
Yeah, we broke up with Gordon, whatever.
Hogan knows best.
Justin Brody's my boyfriend.
Well, that's the way to definitely promote the band through video now. Is, you know.
Have you sent out, like, your own CDs to the radio stations and you book your own shows?
We're doing all the booking right now, and it's really making us tired, boys, so... We're at the stage now where, you know, we're getting a lot of good help, and now that we're booking a tour, you know, I think things are about to start getting very busy for us, so, yeah, we've got help coming.
Are you touring in late summer, fall?
Fall.
Yeah, it'll be early fall. We definitely have the priority set, which is to get finished off the record that we're recording right now, and get management out there to book some shows with us, and to give us a hand on the side, because we're starting to feel overwhelmed now. Just how busy we have been lately, and I hope that it's only going to get busier.
Yeah,
it
will.
Calgary is about to boom, I really think that.
I agree. I think it already surpassed. Like, just that there's a vibe now that's different.
Did you guys just sign up for the contest that is going on this evening and just put your vote in and see who would...
We just threw our CD up in.
Yeah. It was pretty much as simple as that. Well, it actually wasn't as simple as that. We were out for about... We had a mix session about the day of the deadline. We never had our songs fully complete yet from the studio. So Matt and I were up mixing for 30-some-odd hours.
36 hours straight.
And we pulled it off because they liked what they heard.
Yeah. It's a nice reward after killing ourselves.
That's right.
Are you guys from Calgary originally?
How originally?
Past few years, since music, maybe?
Since music.
Yeah.
Except Alan.
Alan is the newcomer. 2 years now. Maybe a bit over 2 years. Alan's originally from Ottawa. And he came out here within a day. We snatched him up. As soon as he got off the plane,
it was amazing.
We pretty much...
What kind of element did he bring to the festival?
It changed.
We didn't really have to teach any new members the drum parts. He just picked up on it right away. And as soon as he sat down behind the kit, he just knew right from that point.
He got what we were doing. Yeah. We've been trying for 2 years to find a drummer that that understood what we were doing. And, you know, they were great drummers, and they just never quite fit with us. And Al just got there, and it was like magic. He understood us.
That's what it takes.
Boy understood us.
How has life in Calgary affected your music and how it's coming out on your record, Cindy? Is there elements of what you brought with you from the city or things that you've gathered from seeing how it's grown and put that in? Have you put any of that into your music at all? Any social?
One thing I can say about Calgary, and this is definitely a positive thing, right now we're in a situation where if we were in a city like New York, Toronto, we probably wouldn't be in a situation where we are now, where we can own our own recording studio, be able to have our own live rehearsal space and a studio at the same time. So that, you know, Calgary being a bit of a smaller town, you can afford to, it kind of gives you some freedom to do some projects like open up a studio on the side as well.
I think
it gives you some freedom for sure.
I think lyrically too, like being in Calgary is it's sort of the opposite of at least who I am as far as the corporate nature of it and the weirdness of not feeling as much like most of the other people in the city. There's quite an underground current of people that I think we all relate to, and it's sort of a minority, and that contributes a lot to you know, our ability to be original and fresh with the music. Like, we don't have to pretend to be something. We're just sort of, we're accepted no matter what. And I think that's generated in cities where there's a lot of weird business type stuff, and then there's this underground of more creative people that are struggling to do things.
The Fast Romantics with How Do You. She's got something on her face. I do, yeah.
places that you want to see or play, faraway countries that you have a huge inspiring moment to go see and all, or play at, or...
I want to rock Madagascar.
Madagascar?
Yeah.
I was thinking Sri Lanka, but...
Is it called that?
Yeah. I think we made it when we played Glastonbury.
Yeah.
In the UK. That was sort of a goal we had a few years back, and we didn't get accepted or invited this year. I don't know why.
Well, they're pretentious.
Next year. There's always next year.
What have you learned from the bands that you've seen or worked with, or the bands that are here this evening? Have they given you tips, or have they influenced you at all, or have you sat and chatted with them, parted with them?
We've learned a lot from... We have good friends in Secret Broadcast. They won the contest too. And we've learned a lot about how you don't have to be in competition with the bands in your town. Like we've become really good friends with them, and we support each other, we egg each other on, and it actually makes you feel better about what you're doing, which is nice. Like, you don't have to be so... The indie scene for so long was kind of stuck up and very exclusive.
Sort of every band for themselves, and right now everybody's, you know, at least the bands that we're close with, like Secret Broadcast, we're kind of working together to get Calgary on the map again for a decent music scene here.
Yeah.
Like it once was. Mid-90s, Calgary was on the verge of booming, and then all of a sudden, what happened to it? So we're ready for that again. Calgary's ready to be placed on the Canadian map again, for sure.
What can your fans expect to hear from your album?
14 tunes.
14 delicious tunes.
Very well-produced tunes, I might add.
Yeah.
When is it being released?
Diversity. Release date, we're looking early September, mid-September.
Mid to late September.
You know, realistically, we say September is actually going to be next September, a year down the road.
But we said September enough now.
Yeah, it's going to be September.
But I don't know what they should expect yet. I hope it's good to other people besides us. That's all we can say right now. We're really happy with it.
You guys excited?
We've spent enough time working on this record now that everybody's parts they've laid down, from drums to bass, everybody is 100% satisfied with them. And I think that's going to be really important when we eventually take it out on the road and try to promote it and sell the CD. Everybody's very confident in what we're doing now. So I think that's really coming through in the music.
All right. I have some fun questions now.
Fun
questions.
We're good at these.
Hey.
We're not so good at the other. Real serious.
Yeah, we can't. It's hard to be serious.
All right. Have you been thrown out of a hotel?
Yeah, but not for music.
No?
I got thrown right off the balcony once in a hotel, into the pool below, and I didn't have anything to do with it. I was an innocent bystander.
Really?
Yeah, they're crazy over in Surrey, BC.
Surrey, BC.
Have you been punched while being on stage?
I should have been punched while on stage, but
I think at Lethbridge you almost got punched.
I should have got
punched. There was a crowd of 10 people that didn't like us at all, and we were heckling. We were heckling back.
You weren't very romantic.
We were definitely not being very romantic.
What is the most romantic meal you've ever made? And what's the fastest romantic meal you've ever made, I should say?
Pie.
Just chicken liver.
Actually, chicken liver pie is delicious.
Have you ever had that?
I imagine
it kind of looks like the, you know when you get the cat food in a weird sauce? It kind of looks like that. But it's within a pie crust, a gravy almost within the pie.
Do you eat that stuff for real?
No.
It's not good for
you. No, these aren't serious questions.
On death row, what is your final meal?
Chicken pie.
Pie.
Chicken gravy, cat pie.
With berries.
Cat food pie.
And also grapefruit.
With a bit of whipped cream on top.
What is a fast romantic?
What isn't a fast romantic?
I'm going to say Matthew Angus. That is the fast romantic. At least this is what I've heard.
What's the worst lie you're ever told?
I'm going to let Jeff answer that one.
But I'm like so gay. I've never really told a lie. I'm pretty much a straight up guy.
What's your best hangover remedy?
That was the best lie.
That's a pretty good lie right there.
Best hangover remedy.
I wish I knew. After all these years, somebody please tell me.
I'm fond of soccer breakfast at the Ship and Anchor. They seem to resolve most of our hangovers.
It's usually a good...
And a Caesar.
A good moonlight stroll the night before we actually go to bed. Gallons and gallons of water and at least 3 or 4 Advil.
And pie.
Fill up the belly.
Did you have a band in high school?
Yep, we were a cover band. Me too. We played everything from Aerosmith to AC/DC. It was full on banger stuff. It was rad.
Did that band get you chicks in high school?
I never got chicks.
No, I had glasses and a mullet, so it definitely didn't get me chicks.
You wore that Speedo all the time too, right?
What unreasonable request would you like put in your rider if you do not already have it?
I want P. Diddy's vodka brand that he has out now. I heard it's like the most delicious smoothies vodka.
That man has style.
And it's only like $300-some-odd a bottle, so.
That could change.
Frozen Mars bars?
I can't believe you brought up P. Diddy. I'm stunned. I have nowhere to go with this.
Okay. He's a gentleman. He really is.
Yeah, he is. He's great.
All right, and that about wraps it up. Would you like to tell your listeners your MySpace page, your website page, get them interested, to know what a Fast Romantic is all about?
Come to www.fastromantics.com. I think that would be the place.
Yeah, Google search the Fast Romantics.
We're all over the place.
Find some places.
We're all over the place.
Secret Broadcast with a tune called I Am Sound.
Find for
again. This is Stacey Steele on punkradiocast.com. I'm in Calgary, still at Snatchrot Club, hanging out with
Max,
Brian,
from Secret Broadcast. Okay, so Matt, you moved from Toronto to Calgary and met Brian and John DeJesus. How was that? How did you end up meeting and forming this band?
Well, you know, I could give the true answer, which it was hot yoga class. But no, in all honesty, it wasn't a gay bathhouse. It was just a fast forward ad, and we all connected, and we felt like we clicked.
Has it been well so far?
It has. Except Brian, he's an asshole.
How did you guys get involved with coming on with the Exposure thing? Did you just enter and just wish yourselves the best of luck, and it happened for you, or?
Pretty much, you know, early on we did an interview with Newsboy, like right when the station started, and you know, he was cool enough to bring us on the air before we had really good recordings. We just had basement recordings, so we've kind of you know, had a link to them from the beginning. But you know, last year we didn't have anything to actually submit. This year we did, and luckily enough we won, and it's just been amazing.
I think we kind of squeezed our way in to the whole Exposure thing too, because we got into, what was it, Canadian Music Week?
Yeah.
Or North by Northeast?
North by Northeast.
I think it was Canadian Music Week.
First? North by Northeast.
No, but the second one.
Oh, Canadian Music Week.
I'm trying to do the time.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay, I get it.
I have it written down.
But I think they were sending a couple winners from the Exposure CD out there, and we were already on the bill, they tagged us on, or they bind our set in Toronto with the Exposure. We kind of did Exposure Alberta, Alberta Exposed, and I put like Jane Payne and Rocky Fortune.
Yeah, and Hollow Rocket.
Hollow Rocket and that's all.
So we've had these wonderful moments where we've been sandwiched together with X92, and we've enjoyed it.
Excellent. You guys are known for your energetic live shows, and you've been invited to perform at various music festivals like Virgin Fest, North by Northeast, Fans, Canadian Music Week, New Music West, and Junior Fest.
Yeah.
How have you guys strived to make your energetic live shows what they are, and what's your reputation behind them?
Well, we've got three people, and you know, we've always felt like, you know, we've had to work extra hard to bring that energy. Because, you know, if you've got six people on stage, you know, one guy could fart and it produces a lot of energy, you know. But for us, we've got to do a little bit more work. And, you know, we've written, fortunately, songs that we really, really enjoy, and we just lose ourselves on stage. Brian is always smiling, and he always gets...
I've been known as the grinning drummer. Yeah. I'm constantly smiling. Because if I'm not having fun up there, I don't know. I don't think anybody wants to see like a non-happy band member out there playing their own music.
Yeah, the age is over where, you know, people are depressed playing their own music. You know, we absolutely have a blast. Michael.
The UK-based record label, The Lab, released a really cool compilation CD with your song on it. Was it Big Man?
Big Bad Man. Yes.
Was featured along with a whole bunch of international artists. How did you guys get that? That is amazing.
Well, yeah, I remember it was the whole Facebook thing, actually.
MySpace.
I'm not on Facebook, so they're convincing me to get on Facebook, but I hate Facebook. Anyways, it was just randomly one day I saw this label, and they said they really enjoyed finding new music, and yada yada yada, so I just sent them a brief message and said, hey, it sounds really interesting, come check us out, like, stop by, listen to our songs. And we actually we didn't even have, like, our EP even recorded at that time. It was still a demo. And they got in contact with us, and they liked what they heard, and, like, what was it, a month or two right after that initial contact that they said, you guys want to be on the CD?
And we're like, of course, yeah. There's some really good acts on there from all over the world. There's a lot of UK acts, but there's also a lot of acts from North America. And
Jealous Girlfriends.
Yeah.
Jealous Girlfriends, really.
Yeah.
Soft. Are they from New York?
I have no idea. Yeah. But yeah, like, we've just been hugely excited to be on, you know, in that part of, getting exposed in that part of the world. We've already gotten some exposure on BBC Radio too. So we're gonna, you know, try to head over there in the near future and tour in the UK too.
You're planning a tour in the UK or part of Europe? Do you have a fan base over there already?
There's probably a few people that, you know, people sit down. I guess we can't tell until we're out there, but
just from the response on MySpace, the UK, we've been getting lots of UK bands requesting us, and I think it's just the fact that we're getting our presence out there, and a lot of UK just bands are catching on to it when they see you and their friends.
Yeah. We're in the process of recording our full-length album, our first, and once that's released, we're going to really look into touring Canada and then the UK. Those are our primary destinations, and then after that, hopefully the US, but, you know, we got to see how things progress.
Now that you guys are in there.
When is the album possibly coming out? Fall?
Probably late fall. Actually, probably winter. Or like, yeah, you know,
it's safe to say.
Probably November, around that time frame.
How do you define your fans right now? What sort of
sexy?
Yeah, they're all sexy. The sexiest people you'll find, really. I don't know. It's been all over the map. Like at first, you know, we got some radio play on more indie stations, like college radio. We got a fair amount of college radio play across Canada. Now we're getting some commercial radio, and we're getting you know, a different group of people. So I think, you know, we've been fairly lucky in managing to appeal to both groups. So, you know, we're definitely seeing different people out now than
we're. And a wide spectrum of ages too.
Yeah.
Like anywhere from like teenagers to people at shows that are buying. This one guy at our Ted Leo and the Pharmacist show, he bought like 3 CDs. He wanted us all to sign them because he's got like a music shrine in his basement. And he said, "I think you guys are onto something. Keep doing what you're doing." And this guy's like in his 50s.
Yeah.
You know, like he came up to the show with his daughter, and his daughter turned him on to the music, and he came up. So,
do you find that your fans sort of have no age, no demographic?
Yeah. Well, none that we've determined yet, at least.
Except for someone who needs a dad and
a baby. Yeah. Yeah, if we're going to go after that market, I think.
What other passions influence you guys musically? What makes you go?
You know, for us, you know, we've faced some level of stress when we get bogged down with stuff like recording and promoting the album. The thing that always gets us really ramped up is writing new material. We absolutely love writing new material, and we love playing in front of any audience, whether it's 10 people or 1,000 people.
Do all of you write together?
Yeah.
It's all cool. Well, Matt writes all the lyrics.
Yeah.
And like the basics. Basics. Well, actually, the structure of the song is all built always out of jams.
Yeah.
It's always out of a collaborative kind of thing.
It's completely spontaneous. Yeah. We'll play until something, you know, gives us an erection, and once it does, we work with it until you know we have a good melody on top of it, and I write some words, and then you know we put it together. And like I think it's much more rewarding where all of us have a piece of the puzzle rather than one person really operating a dictatorship.
Secret Broadcast, Big Bad Man. Sandra.
Band to have a place to be at, like a studio or house, like where you jam and where you bring your thoughts together. Is there a place where you all congregate, or is it just wherever?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it's my place. We primarily just get together, we jam, we have some beers.
It's comfortable. There's always beers every practice.
Yeah, it's never
a stressful thing. Like, we have to practice, we have to get this perfect.
Yeah,
have fun doing what we're doing. It's not like doing it all.
What do you think the current state is of music right now with the internet and the way file sharing is? And that's the wave of the future. It's going to be that way from now on. It's a positive thing getting your music and your message out there, but at the same time, there is, with anything, a negative side to it as well. How do you guys deal with that and focus on that future element of bringing technology and music together?
I personally think it's a really positive thing because, you know, we've found so many different bands that we absolutely love that we wouldn't have been able to find if it wasn't for technology, the internet, MySpace, whatever it is. And, you know, we've managed to get a lot of new fans that way. I realize with that there's a lot more competition, but ultimately, you know, it's just going to depend on how motivated you are, how excited you are in your music, how much you believe in your music, and if you keep on believing in yourself, you'll break through to the other people.
And we hit our 2-year anniversary as a band in February of this year. And we offered a whole week of just a month, or a week of just a complete download of the EP. And then we decided to carry that on because it was so successful that everybody was downloading the songs. We decided to do every week a new single until we headed off to Toronto. And so every week we have a free new download off the EP, and people seem to really enjoy it. So it gets your music out to people that would have never...
Okay, it's fantastic. Everything that I've heard, I love, so it's really good music. Alright. Well, I'm gonna have some fun questions now, so the heavy duty stuff's out the window. Alright. Best hangover remedy?
Spanking it.
Probably Sneaky D's chili, those nachos and chili and beers at Sneaky D's. I like 3 in the morning.
That's good.
I like my answer better.
Hey, it saved me. It saved me the next morning.
What, my remedy or yours?
My remedy.
Oh, okay.
And celery.
Celery's good too.
Best place to party?
Probably his place.
What is the worst lie you've ever told?
I told someone that I was pregnant. It was horrible.
It's not lying.
I didn't really lie, but I told the guys after we won the Exposure CD that we had to get together for a serious band talk.
He hinted that he was leaving the band.
Yeah, they thought I was going to leave the band. And so I told them we were going to meet at at 10 in the morning, and they were just freaking their, yahoos off.
Who meets at Jugo Juice on a Saturday morning?
So they were totally expecting I was quitting the band. And then when I told them, well, I said, you know, the toughest thing, Matt, and this might be a little bit harder for you, but we're going to have to decide what to wear for Virgin Fest on June 22nd. And he was like a deer in the headlights. he was like, and then the bass player, John, was just, so let me get this straight. We won the Exposure thing, and he was like, still kind of like, because he was expecting me to say I was quitting.
Let me get this straight. You're an asshole.
On death row, what is your final meal?
Pierogies.
Pizza. Because I lived on it for about 15 years.
Embarrassing song or artist you secretly love? Any other band members in here so you can freely express yourself?
Prince. I like Prince.
You like Prince?
Don't say he's flipping through these CDs that I got from the library this one day. I was burning him a CD of these Virgin Fest pictures, and he's like,
Rita McNeil?
No, he's like looking through my stack of CDs, and he gets right down to the bottom where I'm watching. I go, oh shit, and there's a Poison Greatest. I like that skinny bob.
At one time. Have you ever been thrown out of a hotel?
No.
I know.
Nothing exciting there.
I threw some furniture out of it.
What kind of furniture?
I think it was an end table.
You're much too cool for me, though.
Best food in the world.
I'll go with his nachos are good.
Or sushi.
Sushi's pretty good.
If you could sing one cover song to save your life, what would it be and where in the world would you sing it? Which venue?
Like anyone we could in the whole world.
However you'd like. You could be in your bathtub.
Something by Elliot Smith in Brooklyn. Because I saw him there and then I didn't get to meet him because I was taking a pee. And I've always felt a connection to him even though I didn't get to meet him and my girlfriend did. Bitch.
It'd probably have to be somewhere a smaller venue, like something kind of cozy and crazy. It'd probably be. I'm really big into supergrass, so right now, at the moment, so. I'm trying to think of this. Do you need the song name?
No, whatever. If you want to.
She Still Lives by Supergrass.
She Still Lives.
That's one of my favorites right now.
It's a good one.
Sure wouldn't be Poison.
On Skinny Bob.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Have you ever stage dived? And if you do, is there someone at the show that you particularly aim for in the crowd?
I didn't stage dive when we were performing, but when I was 16, I did quite a lot of body surfing, and one time, I got dropped on my knees first into a concrete floor, and I decided to sit that one out, but I haven't had the opportunity to actually jump into the crowd at one of our own shows. Maybe tonight!
Here I go.
I never stage dived, but at the Canada in Canada, I drank like a really nice lethal combination of Steam Whistle and Red Bull, and by the end of our set, the last three songs I don't remember, and I ended up in my underwear playing the rest of the last three songs. Honestly, like, Game Shiru, that's it. Oh, and Black Sox. I love Black Sox.
That was nice.
Nothing about the Black Sox. Any future plans for Secret Broadcast coming up? You can tell our listeners on Punk Radio Cast.
Yeah, we're, you know, like you mentioned, we're going to have the album by the end of the year, and at that point, we're really going to start to tour and, you know, promote it heavily and kind of just see where that goes. But we're really, really excited about the stuff that we've been writing. We think it's the best stuff that we've ever played, and it's going to be a much more eclectic album.
Want to shout out your website and MySpace for our listeners?
Yeah, it's myspace.com/secretbroadcast.
You are listening to Volume 23 of The Grind with Chris and Stacey. Up now, The Stills, Being Here.
We ride through these plains of earth.
Hey everyone, this is Stacey Steele coming to you on punkradiocast.com, and I'm in Calgary hanging out with
Oliver
from the Stills. And we're going to ask some questions and get to know each other a little bit here. So without further ado, welcome to Calgary.
Thank you very much.
Okay. So with this new release coming out next month, what does the public expect to hear from it? What sort of sound are you going towards this time?
12 songs. They're all new songs, too, which is good. Bit of old, bit of new. It's not, it's just, again, it's us making a record that doesn't sound like the one before.
They're completely different, which is really
Cool. Yeah, which is, you know, sort of our style, apparently. It's like, so it's that again.
Was that when you signed over to Arts and Crafts, had you already started working on your album? Or?
Yeah, I mean, as soon, as soon as one's done, the other one's, it never, like, the writing is perpetual, it never ends, you know, so it's just finding the 12 songs that go the best together and create sort of a, you know, a, not, I wouldn't say like a concept album, but that create a piece, a work of art that makes sense with itself, you know. So it's always being written, and it's never written because of certain circumstances or because we're on a certain label or because of this and that. It's just being written. Mm-hmm. It's not affected by anything.
What did you decide to switch over to the Arts and Crafts label?
Previous label. Well, you know, we thought it'd be a good idea to be Canadian. Why not? You know, I mean, we had a lot of friends in Arts and Crafts, and we had obviously, you know, gotten drunk a lot with everybody on the label and everybody that runs it, and they were cool guys, and you know, they seemed to want to be interested in having our band, and we said, well, we might as well. We already know you guys, and we've seen you naked before, so we might as well sign with you guys.
Yeah, and it's gone well so far.
Even absolutely. Yeah, they're great. They look even better when they have their clothes on.
You worked with Emily Haynes from Metric and Broken Social Scene and a number of other really great Canadian acts, as well as The Streets, Sam Roberts, people like that. What sort of inspiration do you get when you work with people like that and different bands and different artists within you guys as a group?
I think the inspiration is more subconscious than anything, you know. It's like you... If you go, you know, like, you've toured a lot with the Kings of Leon, you know, we go on tour with them for a bit, for like a month and a half or something, and then you just hear their songs every night, and, you know, you get into their vibe, because you're hanging out with them so much, and I think that maybe subconsciously it affects you, and I don't know whether you know, maybe you buy a different pair of shoes, and you don't know why, or I don't know, but I think it's very subconscious, and I think that, you know, in the end, what's fun is hanging out with people that are doing something honest and that are doing something that's good, and something that we and you know, music that we like. And of course, when you're surrounded by people like that, no matter what they're doing or what type of music they're doing, that's inspiring. You know, so I think the inspiration is subconscious, and it's also, like I said, it's just being with people like that, which is nice. Yeah, because there's so many fucking shit bands and people that are just trying to make a couple of bucks, and it's really nice to be surrounded by nice musicians and artists.
And recently, a couple of days ago, on the 20th, you played with Paul McCartney. So yeah. Paul, how was that?
Well, I don't think I could describe it with words.
Yeah, just a feeling.
Yeah, it was the craziest gig of our lives. Obviously, we played for 250,000 people. We got to hang out with Paul. You know, it's, I don't know, there's nothing I could say. It's just, you had, I mean, we watched this whole show, it was amazing. You know, we got drunk and we had a great time, and, you know, we played to more people than we'll probably ever play ever again in our lives, so it was really special.
Did you really enjoy having someone who was British be somewhere like Quebec City representing? Like a British person representing someone who would be Canadian in a band, Quebec's 400th anniversary.
Well, I think it doesn't matter where he's from. I think that that's the whole point behind music, and what we've noticed the most by just like touring all over the world, is that it doesn't matter where you're from, and it's, music is universal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the fact that if he would have been Swahili or, you know, whatever, fucking Chilean, I don't think it matters. It's his music that matters, you know? and to have that music and whatever that person be there for that occasion is amazing. Even though there was haters around, and politically there was some people being assholes. We were like, if you're not happy about having Paul McCartney come to your city, you need some fucking help. You need like a team of psychiatrists round the clock checking you to be sure that you're not fucking crazy. So yeah. I think it's great that he did that.
Most amazing, I think.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Do you think it's tough to get back in the spotlight after having some time off and sort of going through the motions of after the last tour and then resting and then writing new material and getting ready to tour again? Is it hard getting back out there? And?
Well, not really, because during our time off we traveled a lot, mm-hmm. like all around, to many, many different places all around the world, because, that is one of the things that inspired this record a lot.
I was going to say, isn't that one of your...
Yeah, we just traveled a lot and saw, like, a lot of cool things, and independently and sometimes together, So we haven't really stopped moving, We haven't just been sitting at home and, doing nothing. We just kept on just, like, traveling, and so it's been sort of a cinch to get back into it. It's been like, oh yeah, okay, we're traveling again, great.
How do you feel about sound checks? Are they work or play? There's so many of them that you guys do, I'm sure. What is it like every time you get out there for a sound check?
Sound check. How do I feel about sound checks?
Is that where you just came from?
Yeah, I guess it really depends on the sound check. It depends how much the people working in the room are assholes. If they're nice, then it could be fun. And if they're assholes, then it sucks, and it's like, I guess so. That's really the whole deal with soundcheck. It's only fun if the people working at the venue are cool.
Okay. My next question would be, when bands talk about how they love being on the road and love to travel, but it can sort of kill you in a little bit of a way, how do you take it, being on tour, and what keeps you sane, and how do you sort of deal with that sort of stuff and not deal with it, deal with each other on the road, and... Even though you've been doing it for a while now, it's a little different, I suppose.
I guess it could be hard for some people to go on the road and to leave, like, their friends and their family behind and stuff like that, and it could be a bit alienating, but the five of us are our best friends. So it's when we hit the road, we're not leaving much behind. We're mm-hmm. bringing it with us. So we don't find it very difficult, I guess sometimes, with the schedules could be a bit intense, but... you're with your best buds and you're traveling. There's nothing to complain about.
Mm-hmm. How did you get involved to come aboard for the Exposure Band Contest that is what you're going to later on this evening? For the listeners that don't know, there was an online radio station by a Calgary radio station where local bands won a contest to perform this evening. And how did you guys get on board to come celebrate with the brand new bands?
I have no idea.
No?
Don't know.
All right, then. What passions influence you musically?
What passions influence?
What got you into music?
Music.
Yeah, just music.
Music.
What inspired you?
Me personally?
As a person, yes.
What band or?
Yeah. Band music.
I guess you could say like, I when I started listening to music critically when I was, 11 or 12 or something, I heard, very seldomly on certain songs, I heard like what I didn't know what at the time, but was bass. I was like, "What is that? That thing that disappears all the time, but then when it comes out, it sounds so cool." And then somebody told me it was bass, and I said, "Well, I'm going to play that. That's pretty cool." That's how I kind of got into it. And Dave got his drum kit around the same time, so then we'd go into his basement. Play drums and bass, and we were like 12 or 13, and try to figure it out, and then try to find people in the neighborhood that could play, but we thought that everybody sucked, so we had to go far, and then we found Tim, and then he started playing with us when we were kids, and and then later on came Liam, and then much later on came Julian, but it was just, we didn't seem to think that anything else would be fun to do for a living. Like, everything else seems really, like, kind of, though at least for us, seems boring. Like, we don't want to do that, So, we're like, music seems fun. And, our parents always told us, fuck making money, fuck all that bullshit. Just do something you like, don't waste your time just trying to make money. It's the stupidest thing in the world, I'd rather live in a, one-bedroom apartment and be making music than, working 50 hours a week to have a big house. What's the point? You never enjoy it. You know, I know a bunch of people that have all this money and they build this beautiful backyard and all this stuff and they never enjoy it. They're always sitting there at work, stressing out and taking pills and shit. And it's like, what's the point? Just work less and have a smaller house and just enjoy it. You know, so that's kind of the philosophy of everybody in the band. You know, it's just, let's do something you love. Fuck, if you don't like your job, quit. You're not going to die. You're going to have a smaller place. Boo-hoo. For, you know, just come on. Like, guys, try to enjoy yourself. Try to make a difference. You know?
Rubio's Palm Wine Drinkered by the Stills.
Or do you make a point to be green?
Well, we're going to start, actually, because we're just looking at the amount of waste. Because just from traveling, there's more waste, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't have, dishes, you know, you have disposable dishes, you know, everything's disposable because you're always rolling, you know. But I think we're, there's other bands we've noticed that have started doing it. They have, like, you know, set up recycling at gigs and try to do stuff like that. So we're gonna be looking into that, because at this point it's, like, ridiculous. So the planet is basically, you know, falling apart. Mm-hmm. You know, it would be stupid if we didn't do something about it, at least in a tiny way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. It's interesting to know. I usually like to ask that, because I know people are starting to get more aware of it more this year than any other year. I don't know why, but yeah. People are getting more aware of the footprint they're leaving, perhaps, maybe. Even.
Well, we got a ride here to the hotel in a fucking Hummer, mm-hmm. and I almost didn't, I was going to say, you know what, I don't know, I'll walk or something. Mm-hmm. It's just fucking frustrating that they still even make those vehicles.
Yeah, they're horrible. Yeah. Okay. What are bands plans for the rest of the year after today? And then tomorrow you're up in Edmonton?
Yeah, tomorrow Edmonton. And then, just a bunch of stuff that's not confirmed, but that should be confirmed soon. Just a touring and a bunch of shows. And
When is the album released? August 19th?
August 19th, yeah.
And it's called Oceans Will Rise.
Yes.
Oceans Will Rise. Through the Arts and Crafts label.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Oceans Will Rise is a direct reference to being green, actually.
Being green.
Yeah. Oceans will rise, so, you know.
It's inevitable.
Yeah.
Not
like the tide. I just mean like the glaciers will melt and the oceans will rise. Yeah.
When you started, you were quite young, I imagine, in the band. Mm-hmm. How was it changed going from boys to men into this band?
I don't feel like a man.
No.
No. None of us aspire to, well, at least not in the classic way. I mean, you know, I don't, you know, fight and, you know, like, think that I'm important and, you know, take myself really seriously and insist on being called Mister. I don't think any of us feel that way. If there's anything you can do in your life, and if it's playing music, then you're definitely gonna stay young doing it. Because it's keeps you young.
What can you share with us about how life in Quebec changed or inspired, affected your music, and how it's different, say, than any other Canadian?
Montreal, you mean?
Yeah, Montreal.
I guess the advantage of living in Montreal is that it's really cheap to live in Montreal, and I think everybody then, well, if you don't know this in Canada, now you do. So it's really inexpensive. The rents are cheap, and it's a great place to live, except for the winter. What was that? Somebody said there's two seasons in Montreal. There's winter and construction. And I think, I don't think that the city itself influences really the music as much as the fact that you can have more time to focus on your music and to practice because things are cheaper, you know. And I think in that sense, I think it helps, and that's why there's a big resurgence of bands from Montreal that are coming up, is because you can be a musician in Montreal and be able to live, you know. Not, I mean, if you're starting off, you're not going to live like a king, but you can still live. You can have a very, very little hours a week at your job to pay for your jam space in your small apartment and have time to practice with your friends, you know. And that's cool. And that's, I think that's a reason why there's been so many bands from Montreal that came out and made a splash.
Do you still have a jam space you guys collect?
Absolutely. We share a jam space with Sam Roberts' band. We hang out at the jam space. We get drunk there. That's it. And we, you know, when we were kids, we had a jam space. And 15 years later, we still have a jam space. That to us is important. And it's never going to change. I'll have a jam space till I'm 70. That's it. Jam space.
What do you think of the impact on the internet on music? Getting your songs out to the people. And then the negative aside to the internet as well. Even though that's the way of the future, how are you guys facing that in the future?
Well, we don't have any power over it. You know, the record labels were warned, like, eight, 10 years ago that they were going to get fucked. Mm-hmm. And they didn't change anything, and they were stubborn and stupid. And they said, no, we'll still sell records. And now nobody buys records because they didn't, you know, they didn't fix it on time. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, that's great because, you know, your music can go out to so many more people because essentially it's free, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's true, and I find that cool. But at the same time, it's like, how am I supposed to live? You know, it's like, okay, if you take out the fact that it costs money to make a record, you know, less and less nowadays, fair enough. And then nobody buys records. Then it's like, okay, well, there's shows left, you know. So it's like, okay, well, I got to play 200 shows a year and make ends meet. Okay, cool. Well, I guess we have that left. So it's like a double-edged sword, you know. I think it's helped so many bands put their names on the map that wouldn't have been able to with the internet. But at the same time, it's cut down what labels can do. Labels don't have any more money. You know, they don't have anything left. They can't sign bands. They can't give anybody money to record a record because nobody buys records. You know, so it goes both ways. It's cool and it sucks at the same time.
Well, I'm going to ask you some fun question and answers sure. now. These are always fun to wrap up with, I guess. They're a little bit lighter than the heavier ones, I suppose. Okay, have you ever been punched while playing on stage?
No.
No. Has anyone that you've played with ever been punched on stage?
No, a lot of fucked up things have happened. We've never been punched.
No? Can you tell us a story?
Yeah, we were somewhere in England, and we were playing, there was a lot of people. There was like 2,000 or 3,000 people, and somebody, what was it? It was like he threw, like there was like 12 kiwis were thrown on stage, like the little fruits, you know, and they were sort of, I know how they did it, but I think they weren't rotten or anything, but they had cut them a certain way that when they landed on respectively where they were aiming for, they kind of exploded, you know. So, and it was, they were really well, they was probably like, you know, 12 guys that had set up a thing and it was supposed to be fun or something. And it hit like very key places, like it hit like a person in the shoulder and then another person in the knee and then it went on the instruments and stuff. And then we kind of kept on playing through it and we're like, oh, maybe it's a thing. You know, maybe, I don't know, maybe it was a bunch of Australian guys that were really
hammered.
Maybe
they thought you were New Zealand.
You know, but we were in England, so. We thought maybe, you know, it's a thing. And then later on, after the gig, I think we were playing before another band, I can't remember. And we went out into the crowd to kind of like, you know, see what was going on and see if we could spot a couple of these guys and be like, what the fuck's up with you? Like, what's this Kiwi thing?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, go on stage, shit's gonna, you know, you get a beer or something, who gives a fuck? But Kiwis, we weren't even mad. We were like, what the fuck? You know? So we went down and then eventually we looked around and we saw some guys and they were the guys that had thrown it and they were sitting at the bar. We're like, Kiwis? They're like, and they were all being quiet. And we're like, hello? Like, was it you guys? They're like, yeah. Like, why'd you do that? They're like, well, we really, really wanted you to step out of the backstage and we wanted to buy you guys some drinks. So they got us hammered all night and we had a great time with them and it was super fun.
So, remember to throw fruit at a band next time I feel like meeting them.
Yeah, but it was good. I mean, they didn't get us in the face or anything. They had done the whole thing. They just really wanted to hang and get drunk. And they thought, hey, let's bring some Kiwis. So, thought it was interesting.
Good mastermind idea.
Yeah.
Did you have a band in high school?
Yeah, we have. Me, Dave, and Tim have been playing in many. We've played in like 12 bands together.
Did that band get you chicks in high school?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah? Embarrassing song or artist you secretly love? Your closet favorite band.
Closet favorite band.
You can tell me because none of the other band members are here right now.
Yeah, I know, but I'm trying to think like what it, like there was somebody that was singing a line. I was like, I don't mind this, and it's really shitty, but I don't mind it. what was it? I have to think. Like I think I like early solo Sting shit. And that's really gay. But I think I kind of like it.
Okay.
I guess that's a bit closet. I mean, I love The Police. Like, really, that's my closet. But I think I like his two first solo records. Like, if I put... Yeah, that's it. I was singing, like, Fields of Gold in my head the other day. I was like, that's a pretty good tune. But I was like, you know, but it's gay. Like, it's really not cool. Like, it's really, like, fucking elevator music. And I was like, I don't know, but I like it. So yeah, that could be one.
Okay. Best hangover remedy?
Not drinking.
Okay. If you could have one of these instruments in your band, what would it be? A tuba or a trombone?
Tuba, for sure. Trombone players are like the laughing stock of everyone. It's like worse than being a drummer.
If you could sing one cover song to save your life, what would it be and where would you sing it?
If I was really drunk, I'd probably sing a Tom Waits tune in an Irish pub in India. Or I would sing I would sing like a Rancid song and a punk rock dive in like Detroit. But then I'd be drunk too there. Yeah.
What's your favorite Rancid song?
Fuck, they're one of my favorite bands. I have so many favorite Rancid songs. One of my favorites is probably Rats in the Hallway.
That's a good one.
Off the first record, yeah.
Okay. All right. Would you like to throw out your MySpace website?
Yeah, MySpace Distills. There's Distills MySpace. There's Distills.net. I think that's it. I don't know. I'm not the web guy.
Okay. Perfect.
But I think, yeah, I think that's pretty much all the stuff for all the info.
Anything else? And just the album's coming on August 19th.
August 19th.
Ready for that?
Yeah.
And some touring in the fall and winter, I imagine.
Yeah, definitely. New video coming out for the first single Being Here, which is already playing on the radio. Yeah. That's what's going on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you for being here with us.
Thank you.
It's nice to talk to you. It was a great evening. I also ran into the guys from Attack in Black. I did an interview them that night as Chris McBurney and I attacked them at Virgin Fest back in June, but we got to sit and have a very, very long, personal, in-depth conversation with Spencer Burton. Can't really say what we talked about, as most of it was off the record, but I can say we talked about what it's like being on the road, what the other band members are like, and how music means a lot to them all, and the experiences they've had so far. I can say it was one of the most fun and weirdest nights of my life. I can definitely attest to that. As of late, I've been busy, both myself and my punk partner in crime, Chris. We both have been attending lots of events and shows this summer. I plan on attending a lot more in the fall and in the weeks to come. Other than that, lots and lots on the go, loads of good, juicy stuff coming up for you here on The Grind very soon. I'm enjoying my time here on PRC, represent, and look forward to bringing you more action from the C-Dot to you. Anyway, no rest for the wicked. This is Stacey Steele, and you're listening to The Grind on punkradiocast.com. Peace.
And that does wrap up Volume 23 of The Grind. Of course, tune in next week. Thursday would be the day to catch Volume 24, and that includes the Famous Friends and Fashion Pelts tour with A Wilhelm Scream and a Living with Lions interview as well. We also have an interview done in Edmonton with a band called Class War Kids out of Newfoundland, and also you want to check it out for an interview with a band from Toronto called Late Fallen. We're going to leave you off with another track by The Stills. This is Snake Charming the Masses on punkradiocast.com.